Hi, it's Michael Senoff with HardToFindSeminars.com. I've got an amazing interview for you right now. And the title of this interview is called Give This Man 30 Minutes of Your Time and You'll Have the Most Powerful Brain Around. I'm telling you, if you're like most people, you probably think a lot of your problems are just naturally occurring because you're getting older. Insomnia, tip-of-the-tongue memory problems, foggy brain syndrome, and concentration issues, they happen as we age, right? The truth is they don't have to. According to the founder of Whole Brain Power Coaching, Michael J. Lavery, activating the right side of your brain will get your brain to think faster, it will give you clarity and focus, will help you quickly recover from injuries, give you more strength, improve your golf swing, help you remember names and where you put your car keys, and much, much more. And in this powerful audio interview, you'll hear all about the amazing things that can happen and the simple exercises that will get you there. You'll also learn an almost unknown way you can use your hands to grow your brain. You'll hear about the science behind Whole Brain Power Coaching, what happens as we age, and how Michael's program works to counteract that. You'll hear the one brain trick that you'll want to teach your kids as soon as you're done listening to this audio interview. You'll hear the real truth about Alzheimer's and the simple exercise that may help you prevent it. You'll hear exactly what you need to know about passive stress, why it's so critically important to balance it with active stress, and exactly how to do that. You'll hear the little-known ways Home Depot can help you think faster. You'll hear the scary side of computer keyboards and using the word okay. Believe it or not, seemingly harmless things could be dumbing down your brain. You'll hear about the surprising reason London cabbie drivers have some of the strongest brains around and how you can get one too. The brain is the final frontier that science is just starting to scratch the surface of. Its abilities can be amazing, and they don't have to decrease with your age. The fact is, you'll never know what your brain is capable of until you let it show you. And in this audio interview, you'll hear how to do that in as little as 30 minutes per day. Get ready. This is a crazy wild interview. Let's get going. So you're going to coach me and you're going to share with me some of the stuff you've learned.
I can assure you this, Michael, that your rotator injury could possibly completely disappear. And when you meet me in person, you're going to be blown away by how strong I am. I am literally on steroids that I manufacture from my brain. And so you can understand the mechanics of steroidogenesis, synaptogenesis, and neurogenesis. And you're going to actually physically change your brain. And you're going to feel younger, more alertness, more focused, more motivation, a greater well-being, because you're going to change the chemistry of your brain and your body. And my suggestion to you is that you would have some clinical evidence that you would see in terms of having your blood serum analyzed, and then in, say, 90 days from now, you're going to see a major change in it. Well, there's a gentleman that's working my program, and he is a personal trainer, and he lost 10 pounds of body fat by not going to the gym whatsoever or doing excessive amounts of running or sprinting. And I helped him to rev up his brain power so that the brain started clearing excess sugar.
Did he change his diet?
No, he did not.
Oh, man, you know, this stuff, if that can occur, I could lose 20 pounds easy.
Michael, I can help you do that.
I'd love it. Well, let's do it. I'm ready.
So this is how we are going to initiate this. You have to have certain memory exercises that you need to do every day. And when we speak on the phone, I can tell if you've been doing the exercises. Number two, you're going to have to go down and get yourself some hammers from Home Depot or Lowe's and start doing the hammer drills that are recommended in the book.
I will do that.
Then you're going to have to learn how to write with either hand and take that sloppy handwriting that you claim to have and make it beautiful.
I'd love it.
And then as a consequence, I'm also going to stay after you in terms of what we discussed yesterday. I want you to think your thoughts and produce articulate, grammatically correct English. So when you're getting lazy and you're saying, okay, you don't burn the sugar, as well as when you say, Michael, I appreciate your recommendation, so can we please continue? That takes more energy.
By repeating the thought clearly, I'm using energy in the brain to articulate the words and the thought burning sugar.
Essentially, what you're doing is you're firing up your prefrontal cortex of your brain, your parietal lobes, your temporal lobes, and your frontal lobes, more so than just being lazy about a response such as, yeah, okay.
How many calories is the brain actually burning in a given day?
It can take up to 30% of the blood supply and sugar supply. Think about it for a second. If a person weighs 200 pounds and their brain's only 3 pounds, their brain's taking 30%. That means 197 pounds of that person is taking the 70%. That's pretty hungry, isn't it?
Well, what do you mean it's taking it?
Brain has so much blood volume going into it. That's why when you get a cut in the head, a person will bleed profusely from the head because the brain has so much blood in it. The head has so much blood in it. You have 400 miles of capillary systems and veins and arteries in your brain. Are you aware of that?
I did listen to that. You mentioned that in the interview that I listened to on the guitar subject.
You have enough axon sheath laid end to end to wrap around the world.
So in a given day, you're saying the brain is burning 30% of the...
30%, but in a lazy brain might be burning 10%.
And what increases the burn rate of sugar in the brain? What activities?
Thinking clearly, much more detail-oriented, creating a greater descriptive language, having the use of vocabulary, doing the drills that are recommended. Grabbing a toothbrush and brushing your teeth is a lot easier than taking a pen and writing on a blank piece of paper and having that penmanship extremely legible and beautiful looking, wouldn't you agree?
I would agree. It's hard when you have to think, like if you're writing copy or I'm doing an interview on the phone, it's hard mental work. And that's maybe why one or I could feel burned out after doing that, because I'm burning so much energy. I'm using actual energy in my brain. Is that right?
Or maybe you don't have thick enough myelin so that you basically burn out where I can continue to go, and you go, where are you getting your energy from, Michael? So that myelin sheath is the white matter. So the white matter actually thins as we age, so we lose our energy. And as our brain ages, we lose the molecular currency. So it wanes after a while. The ATP is a molecular currency manufactured in the mitochondria. So as our brain ages, it's not nearly as efficient as it used to be, because our glial cell population is also waning. So you can actually make new neural stem cells by thought, by expanding the ambidexterity factor. So when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. So essentially, you've had an injury to your rotator, so that forced you to have to do something left-handed. You had to move the mouse to the left hand because using your right hand was agitating the shoulder. So you say, I hope this shoulder heals. In the meantime, I guess I have to resort to my left hand. And so what happens in your brain is it starts to rewire itself. And my program rewires the brain faster than anybody's program on the market, and I might be subjective about my opinion, but I don't see anything else out there that even remotely compares to it.
How is it going to reduce the inflammation?
Number one, you're going to stop doing the push-ups, which is causing way too much stress on the joint.
Which I've done.
You're going to start using your left arm, and so there's a transfer effect. They've done studies where people that have a broken right forearm and have a cast on it, they're flexing and squeezing a ball with their left hand the time that the arm's in the cast right-handed, and when they take the cast off, there's not nearly as much atrophication of the muscle tissue. So there's a transfer effect. So the more you write with your left hand, the better your right-hand writing will get. If you didn't do any writing at all for, say, 10 days, and all you did was write left-handed and do the mirror image writing as I recommend, your right-hand writing will be better than ever. It's kind of hard for people to understand, but your brain has a cable called the corpus callosum. It's made out of 250 million fibers. And that cable actually can thicken even into adulthood. See, the human brain is very malleable, way more malleable than we ever imagined it to be. So there are books now coming on the market that talk about the myelin sheath and how it grows. Daniel Coyle wrote The Talon Code. Daniel Coyle's book is all about the growth of the myelin. His theory is talent is not born, it is made. So, Michael, when I train you and I consult with you, I'm going to ask you to be able to do certain feats of mental acuity that you couldn't do before. Number one, I'm going to say, what's the 18th letter of the alphabet? Do you know that letter?
No, I do not.
No, it's R. Can you remember that in 10 minutes when I ask you what the 18th letter of the alphabet is?
Yes.
So can you go like this, 26, 25, 24? Can you count from 26 down to 1?
Yeah, I believe so.
Can you go Z, Y, X, W, V, U, T? Can you go from Z to A quickly?
No.
How come?
I haven't practiced it.
You've never been trained or taught. So when I teach you how to do the alphabet backwards, I'm going to show you how to do it quickly by using acronyms. What does NFL stand for?
National Football League.
What does ABC stand for?
American Broadcast Corporation.
What does IBM stand for?
International Business Machines.
So now when you do the alphabet backwards from Z to A, I want you to be creative and circle either one, two, or three letters and then make acronyms out of them. For instance, the alphabet from Z to A, if we just chipped off from the end, CBA. CBA is a new acronym that stands for the Central Brain Administration. So what does CBA stand for now?
Central Brain Administration.
So EDCBA would be the last five going from Z to A. That stands for the Education Department. Education is E, D is Department. So the Education Department of the Central Brain Association or Administration. You can be creative. So what does EDCBA stand for?
The Education Department, Central Brain Administration.
So HGF stands for Human Growth Formula. So when you have human growth formula or steroids, you can run the ED, the Education Department of the Central Brain Administration. So now what does HGF stand for?
Human Growth Formula of the Education Department of the Central Brain Administration.
I want you to teach this trick to your son so that tomorrow they're going ZYXWBUTSRQPONMLKJIHGFEDCBA.
For more fascinating interviews about whole brain power, go to http://www.wholebrainpowercoaching.com.
Michael, the brain training market is going to be so huge, it's going to be mind-boggling. And the reason being is because we've never seen the incidence of dementia and Alzheimer's as we're experiencing at the present. And when you see this work for you and then you see it for your sons and then you actually evidence this and you journal it and say, my goal, I want you to write down with your left hand, my goal is to shed the excess of lipids that are distributed upon my body. I want you to learn the mechanics of steroidogenesis. I want you to be able to pass an oral examination if I gave it to you. That means that you're going to have to really roll up your shirt sleeves, get your yellow highlighter out, get a journal, and start writing down all these new terms that you're learning. So that when you have a metamorphosis and people start complimenting you on how well you look and how strong and physically fit you look, you're able to tell them, I didn't even go to the gym. All I did was get a pen, started practicing my mirror writing, started doing the memorization drills as recommended by Michael Lavery, and I started doing the hammer drill training. I started to throw the ball with my sons with either arm. So since your right rotator cuff has a temporary inflammation, not permanently damaged, we're going to teach you how to heal it. And then you're going to start throwing a football with your left hand to your kids. And then you have to pass these tests. Right now, you have to give me some words that begin with the letter G that have five syllables. Go ahead.
I cannot think of any right now.
Well, I'm going to teach you how to think of them. This is what you're going to do. You're going to get a dictionary, and you're going to get a yellow highlighter, and you're going to be able to play this game with anybody. The only person that you're not going to be able to beat would be me.
From a marketing standpoint, let's say someone's listening to that, and they're saying, well, why do I have to memorize the states? Why do I have to memorize words with five syllables? Why do I have to memorize the alphabet backwards? What's the point?
That's a great question, and it's a very good starting point. What we're going to do is we're going to cause activity in the hippocampus. That's where short-term memory is located. When you get the activity in the hippocampus to actually rev up again, you create neurogenesis.
What is neurogenesis in simple terms so I can understand it?
The growth of new neurons and helper cells for the brain.
These helper cells, are these generated just in the hippocampus or all over?
No, we're starting to explore the brain in a way with technology, which we're now finding out that these stem cells also happen to be given rise from the subventricular zones of the brain. Essentially, the brain's the final frontier. We are just scratching the surface about understanding how it operates. So when you are looking at the evidence about the onset of Alzheimer's disease, the neurological think tanks out there are pointing to the fact that the first place the brain breaks down in terms of developing the plaques is the hippocampus. So what if we could stop that from happening?
So how do we do that?
I'm going to teach you how to embrace types of memory exercises that most people from the outside will comment as a waste of time. But when you start to feel stronger and you start to improve your hand-eye coordination, and the first day that you try to bounce a golf ball off a rubber mallet, you have a hard time doing it 20 times. And then day number 30, you're doing it 1,000 times. Have you improved your hand-eye coordination?
Yes.
So just imagine that when you're speaking with me, Michael, that every time you fail to use grammatically correct English, then I penalize you.
James? Thank you for reminding me. I did forget that one.
What's the 18th letter of the alphabet?
R.
Very good. So I'm creating new memory formation for you, Michael. What does EDCBA stand for?
Education Department. Will you repeat the letters, please?
Education Department of the Central Brain Administration.
Education Department of the Central Brain Administration.
So I'm going to teach you tricks and methodologies that are used by the memory champs. So you become a memory champ. So when I asked you how your short-term memory happens to be yesterday, you said it was moderately good?
No, I said it was not good at all.
So, Michael, I'm going to teach you how to have a phenomenal memory where you're absolutely so proud of your memory processing. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
It would be wonderful. Am I going to have to make up tricks, though?
No, I'm going to teach you how to embrace an expanded vocabulary usage.
Why would I want to do that?
Because I want you to be able to say the word generosity and gratification and gratuitously. I want you to be able to have the use of 5-syllable, 6-syllable words and be able to use them seamlessly.
What's in it for me to be able to use big words like that?
You're going to burn more calories.
I don't really talk like that, though. That's the thing. I don't mind burning calories, but I'm just telling you, I'm not going to talk to my friends or family in these big words.
I will be a double agent.
What do you mean by that?
I can say, what's going on, dude?
Right.
What's happening, bro? I can be a double agent. I can be lazy if I want to. I want you to be able to do the alphabet backwards, forwards, and backwards, and middle out on one breath. Can I demonstrate it for you?
Yeah, let's do it.
ZYXWVUTSRQPONMLKJIHGFUCBAAZBYCXDWEVFUGTHIRJQKPOMNMOLPKRIQGSHTGUFVWCA.
So someone listening, that's a cool trick. But from what we're talking about as far as you training my brain, this is an exercise that is strengthening the hippocampus and burning energy.
Oh my gosh, I'm firing electrically charged ion particles around my brain so fast doing that, Michael, that it even raised my heart rate.
But aren't you just using a trick?
I produced vocal output that was so radical. How about doing the states in alphabetical order in one breath in 21 seconds flat? That means I have composure over my breath. I'm able to speak all those words. My brain is getting faster at retrieving the information that I want to get to. What happens to us as we age, our brain gets slower, so we have more tip-of-the-tongue problems.
So someone listening to this, and they maybe want to invest in your book, in your program, in your teaching, and they're thinking, okay, I'm listening to this guy, Michael. This guy's been doing it 20 years. I mean, I'm busy. I got kids. I'm running a business. They may be saying to themselves, I barely have time for anything. How much time is this going to take for me to start seeing improvement? What kind of time commitment am I going to have to put in to get some results?
My observation of people doing my program is that it doesn't take much time at all if you just have efficiency at it. Suppose I said, for 20 minutes today, I want you to bounce a golf ball off a rubber mallet. I want you to take 20 minutes of your day, 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes in the afternoon. Would you be willing to do that?
I would be.
So we got 20 minutes of hammer drill training. Now, I want you to do also 20 minutes of handwriting, but 15 minutes with your left hand and 5 minutes with your right hand. And then you have to write in that workbook, and you have to do incredible quality penmanship drills. So you have 20 minutes of handwriting and 20 minutes of hand drills. That's 40 minutes. Now, the rest of the day, you're going to stay focused, and I want you to practice just thinking more detailed thoughts and then speaking them all day long.
I could do that.
So just imagine that you get up in the morning and you take a shower. Do you take a shower in the morning?
Yes, I do.
Okay, during the shower time, I want you to be doing the alphabet backwards and the states in alphabetical order.
That's doable.
So then I want you to be able to spell any word using numbers. How do you spell dad using numbers?
4-1-4.
Good. So imagine that you could spell any word instantly using numbers. Would your brain be working faster than normal?
I would believe it would be.
Well, most assuredly it would. If I said spell experimental right now, the first day, how long would it take you to do that?
In numbers? Yeah, because I'd be using energy to figure it out, right?
That is correct.
But once you get efficient at it, are you using less energy?
No, what you're doing is you're starting to have fun at it, and now you're having more joy and more motivation, and now you think, what else could I do?
Okay, let's say you're a fat person, you haven't trained, and you go run a mile, and it's brutal. You're puffing and puffing, and you expend so much energy moving your body that mile, and then you become more efficient at processing oxygen, and you're in shape, and you go run a mile, and it's no big deal. Which mile used more energy, the first or the second?
The time you ran when you were out of shape, that was such active stress, it was mind-boggling, caused you to have all kinds of physical pain. You're burning, your lungs, your legs are burning. Your body's not used to all this expenditure of energy and the waste products of your lactic acid. And then your body becomes more efficient.
But where did I burn more energy? I guess my point is, you're doing this, it's almost like second nature to you, just like someone, you know, uses their right hand to brush their teeth. You're not even thinking about it. But aren't you at the point where you're doing stuff with your left hand that you're not even thinking about it?
Oh, it's amazing now. I'm writing so well left-handed, I can't even believe it.
A right-handed person who writes and does everything normally right-handed, and they're doing it second nature, are they still burning energy?
Absolutely, especially if you're thinking very detailed thoughts and you're writing beautiful concepts and you have a stream of consciousness and you're having access to your imagination and you're having your right hemisphere of your brain be firing and forming pictures, the ability for the whole brain to be integrated.
All right, let's get back to the hippocampus.
Hippocampi is plural, so hippocampus is about the size of your thumb. And it's located in the medial temporal lobe, so if you just basically put your finger against your temple right straight through there, medial temporal lobes would be where your hippocampi is.
What were we talking about when we brought up the hippocampus, because I forgot?
About the fact that the first areas where plaques form, they're called neurofibrillary tangles, that's where they form first.
That's the first place in Alzheimer's?
That's where the medical establishment is pinpointing the first stages of mild cognitive impairment. Short-term memory demise is mild cognitive impairment. And so what happens is it's a slippery slope towards Alzheimer's. So right now we have an epidemic proportion of mild cognitive impairment. Actually, what happens to us is we don't have the proper activity of the neurons. They're not firing. So the neurons either fire or they don't. There's no in-between. It's all or nothing. And so our brain has a chemistry that gets tweaked. And we have these lockdown chemicals called GABA, gamma-aminobutyric acid. And we also have beta endorphins. And when you expose the brain to too much passive stress and you don't balance it with active stress, then your hippocampi structure starts getting attacked.
And passive stress is what?
Being stuck in traffic, having noise that you can't control, having a barking dog, having the television on all the time, having the radio on in the background, basically having to do things that you don't want to do.
Active stress is...
is doing these memorization drills and the penmanship and the handwriting and the ambidexterity motor skills. Essentially what happens is we have a balance of scales and the passive stress dominates the equation.
I see.
So what happens is when we start to lift the level of active stress, we kind of balance out the equation and we can stop some of the detrimental chemical changes that are happening to the brain.
Because people have so little active stress in their lives.
That's correct. So they get to a certain point, they go, I'm not going to do that stupid program. I'm not going to do that. State's in alphabetical order. I can just get a map, man. I don't need to do that. I don't need to waste my time doing that. And then all of a sudden they're like this, where's my keys? Where's my wallet? Where did I put my friggin' cell phone charger? Gosh, I can't believe it. I can't remember anything. What's your name again? What were those three letters again?
You were involved in this 20 years ago? How did this all start?
No, much longer than that, Michael.
How long ago?
Well, inadvertently, I've been doing this my whole life because I started out in sports really young. My father was an ex-professional baseball player and a great hockey player and football player and a coach. So I was very fortunate to have parents that were very disciplined, and they created that discipline in me. And so my mom is very artistic and musically oriented as well as an athlete. So I come from a good genetic pool, and then I had a really close, tight-knit family of five children. So there was four boys and an older sister, and we were all five kids born within a six-year time frame. So a real Catholic family there. So I grew up in an environment where I had music, I had handwriting, I had painting, I had sports. So I had the Renaissance approach to life from out the gate. In my life, what happened was I broke my femur at age 15 in a football game. I couldn't play sports for 2 years. I had four operations on the femur. And so that frustration and that period of depression and anxiety about what I was going to do sports-wise, because I was such a good athlete, and to be sidelined for 2 years was really very much a hardship, and it actually made me a stronger person. So I developed my artistic skills during that time. I started playing guitar. I really started working on oil painting. I started to really open up my right brain. And believe it or not, when I made a comeback, I had better hand-eye coordination than ever before. Even though I had lost a little bit of foot speed, my hand-eye coordination was way better because of my guitar playing and my painting.
And did you at that time recognize that maybe that was because of the 2-year period you opened up maybe the right side of your brain?
Only in retrospect did I realize that had happened to me. I wasn't aware, and they didn't have the information back in the 70s about the right brain, left brain. They were only starting to do the split brain patient studies by Roger Sperry and Michael Gassinger. So those two guys won the Nobel Prize for brain science and discovery that each hemisphere of the brain has its intrinsic personalities when you split the hemispheres, when you split the corpus callosum. And so all these books started coming out about people's theory about the right brain, left brain. Betty Edwards wrote a book called Drawing from the Right Side of the Brain. And when she showed that she could take non-artists and teach them ways and tricks to open up the right brain. So I was very aware of all the literature that was coming out.
Was a lot of it BS, do you think?
I think that when you split the corpus callosum, you split 250 million fibers of axon sheath, so of course the brain's not going to communicate as it did before, so it'll basically be, so if you could take the right side of the brain and say the right side of the brain is uninhibited and emotion and compassion and non-logical in the left brain, but it doesn't work that way.
How many books do you see coming out on the brain?
Oh, tremendous. It's incredible because everybody's realizing that there's nothing that's stemming the tide of Alzheimer's. Anxiety levels are at an all-time high. The baby boom generation doesn't want to age like the World War II generation. So everybody's looking for the elixir, and everything's pointing back to the brain now.
Are you reading everything that comes out?
I read a lot of literature that's coming out. As I said before, I think I'm sort of on the cutting edge of it. Number one, I demonstrate hand-eye coordination I've never seen before. You know what a ball peen hammer is, Michael? Yes, I'm now able to run down the street bouncing a golf ball for ball peen hammer. I'm reaching into the savantism. So basically, I do things that even professional baseball players look at and go, I don't know how you're doing that.
Well, how many hours have you practiced doing the golf ball?
Oh, I'm afraid to say because it's crazy. I've done it at least 15 million times.
Did you do it yesterday?
Yes, 5,000 times.
The day before?
Oh, I usually average about 5,000 hits. It takes me only 25 minutes to get 5,000 hits in.
You switch out hammers or are you just doing the ball?
Of course. I do it with a 4-pound sledgehammer. I have a 16-pound sledgehammer I do it with.
Okay, so someone's going to say, well, this guy's doing it every single day for how many years?
I've been doing it now, the hammer drills, for almost 10 years.
So this is part of your brain workout and physical workout.
Oh, and also get back to what we're talking about, stay focused constantly throughout the day.
Got you. You must be burning a tremendous amount of energy. Okay, now I get it. So tell me, that hammer drill, the intensity of the concentration of keeping that ball bouncing on that hammer, what are you doing?
Oh, it's incredible. Sometimes, Michael, I swear to God, I can just be doing the hammers, and if I miss the ball, I have to go get the ball, but I just stay focused, and then I'll be reciting pi and powers of two and doing recitation of Mark Antony's speech at Caesar's funeral. I'm literally burning 5 pounds in one day.
Do you eat a lot?
The amount of calories I can consume is pretty ridiculous. If I wasn't doing these drills, I would definitely put on a lot of weight. But you know what's really exciting for me, Michael? People doing my program are going to see endocrinologists, and they're coming back all with the same results, elevated hormones.
Before I was doing the sprints, I'm with Kaiser, and I did ask them to measure my HGH, but they wouldn't do it. I also tested my testosterone to see if that was at normal levels, which it was, but they wouldn't do the HGH.
And what was normal for you, 550?
I don't remember. I could look it up and see.
700? In order for you to really find out where you're at, you should have your pregnenolone levels measured, plus your DHEA, plus your free testosterone levels.
Where can I do that?
You can do that through an endocrinologist. Just go in your local Yellow Pages and look for an endocrinologist, and maybe there's one that's connected with your Kaiser. The interesting concepts behind whole brain power is that it's anecdotally evidence. Like, for instance, this guy named Nathan Thompson. He's 25 years of age, and I meet him about 2 months ago, and this guy's life has changed so radically that if you talk to him, it almost sounds like a miracle.
What happened?
I met him because two of his friends said, hey, Michael, I want you to meet Nathan. Show Nathan how you can do the hammers, and I did. And then he went, what? And then he goes, well, why, mister? I said, because it makes me so strong. He goes, I'm pretty strong. I said, shake my hand. He goes, oh, my God, you could break my hand. I said, I'm not intending to break your hands, but I'm just giving you a good, firm shake. So this kid goes, can I have your number? So he calls me up later. He goes, Mr. Lavery, I'm a personal trainer. Your hands and forearms are so damn dense, I can't believe it. What are you doing? I said, just the hammers. Come on, I don't believe it. I asked the kid some questions about his memory, and I tested his memory. He didn't fare too well at all. He failed the test. So I could give you some memory tests today, Michael, and I want to see if you can pass the test.
Okay, let's try.
One of the things I want to ask you to do is not use the word okay. We talked about that yesterday. You asked me, what should I use instead of okay? Well, let's take a look at okay as an impulse. So now I'm asking you not to use it. Suppose I said if you don't use it the rest of the conversation, you make $100. But every time you do use it, you owe $20 to the bank. Would you be willing to take that risk?
Yes.
What if I said to you, if you have a one-word response such as yes, you also owe money to the bank. If you don't do it, you also get paid. Would you then start thinking more clearly?
I would start thinking more clearly.
Good. Now that we're understanding that takes more energy to do that, you have to start to objectively reason plus use subjectivity and say, that would probably cause me to burn more calories with my brain. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I would agree with that. If this interview has been interesting to you and you'd like more interviews like this, go to http://wholebrainpowercoaching.com. That's http://wholebrainpowercoaching.com. Thanks for listening.
So let's play this game called the buzz game. It's in my book. The buzz game is telling me if your brain is buzzing and working and do you have the impulse control to be able to play the game and follow the rules. Michael, you and I will count to the number 50. On the way up to 50, as we alternate count, there are numbers that we won't say. Instead, we'll substitute the word buzz on the numbers. Do you understand what I've said so far?
I do understand.
So what we'll do is we'll say the word buzz on any number with a 7 in it, any number with a multiple of 11, and any number with a multiple of 7. Do you remember those rules I just gave you?
Can you repeat them one more time, please?
So we will say the word buzz on any number with a 7 in it. So 7, 17, 27, 37, 47, we say buzz on. So if I go 1, you go 2, I go 3, you go 4, I go 5, you go 6, I go buzz, you go 8. Do you know how the game's played?
Yes, and what were the other two?
The other two rules, I will buzz on any number with a multiple of 11, which is 11, 22, 33, 44, and any number with a multiple of 7, so 14, 21, 28, 35, 42, 49.
A multiple of 4?
No, multiple of 7, a number with a multiple of 11, and any number that has a 7 in it.
All right, let me just see if I have this correct. We're going to say buzz on any number with a 7, any number with an 11?
A multiple of 11.
A multiple of 11, and what was the last one?
And any number with a multiple of 7.
And a multiple of 7. Let's give it a try.
So if you make a mistake or I make a mistake, we go back to 1. Please start the game.
1.
2.
3.
4.
5.
6.
Buzz.
8.
9.
10.
Buzz.
12.
13.
Buzz.
15.
16.
17.
It has a 7 in it.
Okay, I wasn't sure. Sorry about that. Buzz.
So you made a mistake, so we have to go back.
Oh, we got to go back. Okay.
So I got you with the $20 fine there. Thank you.
Yes, you did.
So if you had to deal with this type of thinking and concentration and staying focused, you would burn calories if you were having a daily conversation with me. Wouldn't you agree with that, Michael?
Yes, I would agree.
So now let's play the game again. Ready? 1.
2.
3.
4.
5.
6.
Buzz.
Buzz. Oh, you said 7. Sorry. 8.
No, you made a mistake, so you have to go back to 1. You remember the rules?
Yes, I do.
So, Michael, I'm testing your hippocampi structure. I'm not testing your intelligence. I'm testing your Amen's horn. I'm testing how your subiculum works. All this is in my book. So just going over my book with a yellow highlighter, having to write down all these terms that you've never seen before would cause you to have active stress, and you would sleep better, and you would feel better, and you would burn more calories, and you would increase your muscle density. Can you imagine that? You increase your body mass index?
Tell me how I can increase muscle density by doing these. These are mental exercises.
They're mental exercises, but imagine having a hammer in your hand at the same time you're having to do a recitation of your speech that you memorized.
Have you seen anything that can quantify the amount of calories burned during these if you compared that to physical exercise?
I do it, and I can't even believe it. I'll start the day out at maybe 217 pounds, and then at the end of the day, I'll be 212 pounds. And I didn't go running. And so this kid who's a professional golfer on the South American Tour, his name Robert Twine, just shot a 57. He did it within 5 days of meeting me. I saw him at the range. He said, "What do you got the hammers for, sir?" I go, "This is how I train golfers." "Oh, man, you got to be kidding me. You train golfers with hammers? That's the funniest thing I've ever seen." I go, "Yeah, watch me hit the ball." And I crank the ball. So I'm talking about the brain, Michael. I'm talking about having to convince somebody that's a professional athlete, and he just poo-poos on it. And he goes, "Ah, I don't want to do it." I said, "Good luck." And the guy has the worst year of his life. Because he's watching television and playing video games, and he's 6'4", and he thinks he's the cat's meow, and then all of a sudden he's going downhill. But other people are doing it, and it is starting to spread virally. There's a guy that's down in Australia right now that's having tremendous success, and he's going to give a presentation in front of a bunch of medical people. So there's this kid up in Oregon that's doing my program. His name is the Cerebral Prince. So I got three professional golfers that are in the lower tier of golfing. Michael, what if I get you to totally believe in this and you have a radical transformation of your body and your mind and your kids start loving it? Are you then going to be going, how do we get this thing going?
Yeah, I would love it. That would be wonderful.
So you didn't pass the buzz game, did you?
No, I did not.
No, so guess what happens when I administer this test to people? They don't pass it.
It's a good proof element to show you how weak you really are.
When I do that game and I give you the acronyms and then you're going, what were those three letters again? Shoot.
I can relate to it. As I've gotten older, I understand and know that my short-term memory, I'm losing it. I know it.
So Michael Senoff, I'm going to help you get it back.
Be great.
So Michael, this is how you do it. You stay focused. Suppose you're driving. I'm saying, "Michael, stop tailgating." "Oh, don't worry about it. I have great brakes." I said, "Michael, do me a favor, will you? Stop tailgating." "You don't want to stop tailgating." I said, "Michael, do me a favor, will you let me off here and take a taxi home? Because I'm really nervous right now." So what happens to people is they don't stay focused, and then they end up rear-ending a car. And that's why you see a 15-car pileup on the highway, because everybody is basically unaware.
Do you worry about claims? Do you think about that, or is that something that's on your mind at all?
Not at all. I'm not saying I'm curing anything. I start out with a disclaimer in the book. If you go on my program, please consult your physician. I'm not making any claims in my book at all. I'm just saying that here's this guy that's doing my program, and people are asking him if he's on steroids. I'm saying that the London cabbie drivers that memorize 25,000 street names all have gray matter enlarged, and they have larger hippocampi structures. I'm so unique. I am so across the board with my program because it's just not about sports. It's not about running. It's about using the brain and thinking. It's using the frontal lobes. It's being able to form pictures. It's being able to have mental acuity and having variety and lack of redundancy. So just having lack of redundancy in your speech production, Michael, burns calories. This is what I mean. Instead of saying excellent, or that's awesome, or that's pretty, say that's exemplary, that's extraordinary. That's not necessarily true. I would appreciate being given an opportunity to take the floor so I can offer a rebuttal to your claims. That's energy, my friend. That's ATP rising. Albert Einstein's brain was so damn dense, it's ridiculous. I talked to this woman named Sandra Whittleson from Canada, who has slices of his brain. She called me up one day. "I'm fascinated by your discoveries. You're 46, is that correct?"
"Yes, correct."
"Yeah, 46 years of age, Michael. You're admitting to me that your short-term memory is in decline. Isn't that true?"
"That is true."
"Let's put the brakes on your mild cognitive impairment and let's rebuild the brain." So, Michael, what happens to us is our brains don't fire as aggressively as they used to when we were children, so our brains become inflamed. Because when sugar doesn't get cleared, the brain becomes inflamed. When the brain becomes inflamed, the brain lays down plaques.
Now, what do you mean by when the sugar doesn't clear?
Well, just imagine that every car had a mandatory amount of fuel that it had to be put in, and there was no top-off valve. So certain people would be driving their car X amount of miles so they would burn through the gas, and so there would never be a problem of it spilling out. So everybody has a certain amount of caloric intake that they get into a pattern of having. And then what happens is systemic weight gain occurs. And so they can't understand that. I'm eating the same amount of calories. I seem to be doing the same amount of exercise. I'm putting on pounds now. Why? Well, the hormones are dropping. Why? My memory is starting to fade. Why? Well, if the central nervous system, your brain, is starting to go down and you can't process short-term information, would you say that it's efficient or becoming inefficient?
I would say it's becoming inefficient.
So if there's a certain amount of glucose in your blood and your brain's not absorbing the information and assimilating it properly, would you say you're burning the calories properly? Or would you say maybe there's sugar that's not being processed?
Probably the sugar that's not being processed.
So if the sugar's not being processed, well, then where does it go?
It's stored as fat.
Well, it first stays in solution longer than it's supposed to, and that causes an inflammatory response.
Yeah,
diabetes causes inflammation and destruction of the nerves.
Didn't they relate diabetes to Alzheimer's?
Yes, Alzheimer's is a form of diabetes. Diabetes 3 is Alzheimer's. So, Michael, I want you to really think about what I just said there. If there's, right now, 30 million cases of diabetes with another 70 million people that are pre-diabetic, that means that all those people, if they live long enough, could eventually die of Alzheimer's. That's ridiculous when you think about it.
I don't know the exact statistics, but they say, you know, 50% of people over age 80 are going to develop Alzheimer's.
No, 50% of people that are 80 or even younger have the symptoms of Alzheimer's. Not will develop it. They are in Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is a 40-year progressive disease, Michael. It's not something that comes on after 1 year.
But I'm sure the 50% who don't get it, I'm sure a good majority of those people are lazy and they don't think and their diets are poor, but they never develop it.
That's correct. There are genes that actually express the potential for developing Alzheimer's disease. That's a gene that has been written about extensively. It's about a misfolded protein. There's two types of problems that the Alzheimer's brain gets. One is tangles within the axon sheath. Those are called tau tangles. I discuss that in chapter 6 of my book. And then there's neurofibrillary tangles, where the proteins are misfolded. It's called APP. APP is basically a soluble protein, and it becomes insoluble, so it basically gums up the brain. So there's all these new drugs that they're coming out with that aren't putting a dent in anything because all it's doing is slowing down the progression of this problem. It's not really rectifying it. So I want you to think about this concept here. What if your brain every single day got a little bit sharper, Michael? Would you then be in fear of losing your memory?
No, I would not.
So what if you put a cast on your arm for 90 days? Would you expect your muscles to be in good shape when they came out?
I've had a cast on a broken left arm, and I remember specifically when the cast came off, how my arm just floated up. It was smaller than when it first went on. This is when I was younger, a kid.
So this is called an atrophication process. What if you could actually have a way of seeing and making the skull transparent so you could actually see all the anatomical features of the brain called your hippocampi? And what if you had this hippocampi that you noticed was getting a little bit smaller at 46? Would you do something about it?
Yes, I would.
So since we can't see our brain, all we can see is the anecdotal evidence of it. Isn't that pretty much accurate?
That's pretty much accurate.
So you can start to see people that maybe might be your parents, or you might see uncles or aunts, and they're starting to have that cognitive decline, and you're knowing they're going over the waterfall?
Yes, I could make that assumption.
So what happens to us is we don't shake somebody up by the ankles and say, hey, listen, I want you to go home tonight and recite the state in alphabetical order. What for? I'm going to go home and watch Dancing with the Stars.
Unfortunately, that's what most people would say.
Do you want to be one of the statistics, Michael, when you're 75, 80 years of age?
No, I do not.
I think that I offer a program that could help alleviate that anxiety. And this is how it works. You're going to take a look at your hands and realize your hands have a lot to do with maintaining your brain health. So since you don't hand write well, then that's not good. So what we're going to do is we're going to make it important for you to hand write properly.
I'm game to give it a go.
And then we're going to also demonstrate that your focus is improving so then you can learn the techniques that allow you to have original awareness and linking systems so then you activate your right side of your brain and your right side of your brain starts forming the imagery that is causing activity in the frontal temporal lobes. So what does HGF stand for?
HGF. I forgot the answer.
It's human growth formula.
That's it. Human growth formula.
So we went over that a couple of times, yet you didn't hold on to it, correct?
That is correct.
So I want to teach you how to hold on to it, Michael.
I'm game. Let's do it.
So we are doing it. I'm going to ask you to practice on your own. A is 1, B is 2, C is 3, all the way down to Z. Don't make a mistake if you do go back to 1. Every letter in the alphabet is going to have a symbol. A, 1, sauce. B, 2, bomber. C rhymes with 3.
Should I print the workbook out and start with
those? Oh, absolutely. And you're going to be able to do the alphabet backwards. Do you know why? Because I'm going to teach you the story. This is how it goes. I want you to realize ZYX stands for zebra yellow xylophone. Just imagine that you're very childlike, that we regress you down to the age of 6 or 5, and then you come back from kindergarten. You go, Mommy, the zebra playing the yellow xylophone arrived at the letter W, and he realized he was winning. And the 7-foot-tall German man said to the zebra, What did you win? V-U-T. Z-Y-X-W-V-U-T. Repeat that after me.
V-Y-Z-W-U-T.
No, Z-Y-X, zebra, yellow, xylophone.
Z-Y-X, zebra, yellow, xylophone.
W stands for winning.
W stands for winning.
And you're going to win this game of memory enhancement. So Z-Y-X-W, V-U-T is a 7-foot-tall German man that has that strong accent and goes, What did you win? V-U-T.
V-U-T.
That's the new acronym.
V-U-T, what did you win?
So Z-Y-X-W-V-U-T rhymes with A-B-C-D-E-F-G. So then, as we now are making this imagery in your brain, your right brain's being activated, Michael. And so you're causing activity that normally is not happening. If I asked you right now, give me the names of the Great Lakes in the United States. There's 5 of them. Rip them off. Go ahead.
I don't know them.
I'll teach you how to remember them so you never forget them the rest of your life. I want you to remember the acronym HOMES. H-O-M-E-S. Stands for Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Erie, Superior. What are the Great Lakes, Michael?
Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Superior is the last.
No, Erie, Superior, HOMES.
What's the E one? Oh, Lake Erie. Okay. Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Erie, Superior.
This is a trick that makes your brain actually create activity to teach it how to circumvent around the block of having new information stored. So, Michael, just imagine that you're conversing with a gentleman such as myself that has a random access memory that's so massive it's kind of hard for you to even comprehend. That's where I'm at.
All right, let me ask you this. A good majority of people, they've heard of these tricks. So I want you to tell me, you know, for someone listening, they're thinking to themselves, okay, I've heard this trick. As a matter of fact, when I was at the University of Alabama, I took a sales course, and the guy's name was Lee DuBois, talked about memory tricks where you can remember the sales process, and he used the imagery like that. So people out there have heard of these tricks. So what are you going to say to them when they're thinking, this is nothing new? I've heard of these tricks. I've seen it.
Well, you haven't heard of the whole package of what I'm presenting to you, which is your basal ganglia. I want you to remember that term, basal, as in basal cell, basal ganglia, as in ganglion, B-A-S-A-L, ganglia, G-A-N-G-L-I-A. Basal ganglia is activated by penmanship. If you want to remember something, you write it down in the best penmanship. Today, people chicken scratch it, and that's why they can't remember it.
So this whole epidemic of computers and keyboards, you mean, writing is just...
Oh, my God, it's killing the potential for memory, Michael.
That's so true. Maybe that's why the epidemic of memory is occurring.
Michael, you're getting it because that's too much passive stress, and you're not reflecting with a more meditative, relaxed, pen in hand, back to the basics, where you quiet the brain down. You're not going fast. You're going smooth and direct.
It's keyboards that are dumbing America.
You got it, big guy. Michael, just imagine that you listen to people talk and the kids go, sup, sup, sup. What's sup mean? What's sup, dude? It's sup now, sup. If we continue to go down this path, then we will be grunting in 15 years.
Has anyone written a study on the effect of keyboards and the reduction of penmanship and the effect?
Oh, yes. There's a book called Aging with Grace. His name is David Snowden. It's in all of my book, Michael. That 308-page PDF I sent you is so chock full of information. It's going to blow your mind.
Okay.
So as a consequence, we got another okay. That's another $20 fine.
I owe you $40.
If that was really the money that you owed me every time we had a conversation, you'd stop that, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would.
Michael, if I took you in a time machine and said, Mr. Senoff, I'm the ghost of Christmas future. I'm taking you down the pathway of time. And you get to meet yourself when you're 75. And then you go, Michael, don't do that to me. Meet yourself, Michael. Talk to yourself, man. Listen to your conversation skills now. Don't do that to me, Michael. Yes, you have to see the future, Michael, for you to change your present. So you can teach your kids the ZYX because they'll learn it really quickly. What does ZYX stand for?
Zebra, yellow, xylophone.
And what's W stand for?
What's the W? I forgot the W.
Winning.
Winning.
And VUT stands for?
Vut, that big German guy.
7 foot tall. I want you to have the memory of the details.
7 foot tall German guy. Looks like
Lurch. Vut.
Vut,
and
Lurch.
And then you come to the letter SR, and that stands for senior.
Senior.
So the next 7 that we're going to learn is SR. SRQ. What's Q stand for? Question. Does it stand for a light bulb, a Q stick? What do you see the Q as?
A question mark.
Yeah, so you're a senior and you're questioning, should you go to the PO to deliver a letter to NM, New Mexico? So SRQPONM. Repeat that after me.
SRQPONM. I go to the PO box and deliver, what was the?
NM is New Mexico.
Okay, deliver a letter to New Mexico.
Yeah, so SRQPONM.
SRQPONM.
Yes, and then you're going to be at LK, Lake Kilimanjaro, where you meet Jesus, and then you have this epiphany, you say I. So LKJIHGF. What does HGF stand for?
Human Growth Serum.
Formula.
Human Growth Formula, correct.
So that you can run the ED, what does that stand for?
I forgot.
Education Department.
Education Department, Central B something Administration.
No, Brain.
Brain Administration.
You got it. So now you're going to have this 26 letters that you now make up your original awareness story, Michael, and don't be afraid of what other people think.
Okay, so I make up my own story for it.
You got it. And then all of a sudden you start using your own creativity. This is not robotic learning.
Oh, I don't have to remember your story.
No, I'm teaching you how I did it.
I gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. Okay.
So if I said, I want you to do the alphabet from the end to the middle, A, Z, D, Y, there's 13 groups of letters, 2 in each group, and each group represents a story. And now you're using your right brain. It's almost like, Michael, you're left brain and I'm the right brain guy, and you don't listen to me because I don't speak. I give sign language, and you never look at my sign language. I'm giving you the sign, and you're not getting the sign, so you don't remember. Think about this for a second. Most brains are lopsided in their development and their neural processing. What if you had a whole brain model?
Let's talk about the hammer drills and what's going on physically, even though the onset, even with the rubber mallet, isn't that heavy.
Well, you have to build up endurance. The endurance has also come from the brain because your brain is having to package or repackage neurotransmitters in order to do the singular act. It's a very unusual act. Have you ever done anything that even remotely comes close to it?
The only thing I could think of was, you know, the paddle ball. You get them, you know, when you're a kid and you've got the red rubber ball and you have the paddle and it's attached to the string.
I remember those.
That would be something similar.
That would be similar to it, but this is requiring a lot more concentration because you don't have anything attached to it. So if you miss it, you got to go get the ball. Every time you are having this intention to fire that brain of yours to send signals to your right hand and you're having to stay with that golf ball, you're having to keep the hammer level, so there's that challenge there. You can't tilt the hammer because the ball will fall off. It'll either go to the side or in front. But you have to be aware of spatial intelligence and what your hand has to do. So your hand has this new challenge to keep that hammer in your hand nice and solid. You can't hold it too loose or too tight. Then you've got to have a certain rhythm of actually striking up when the ball's coming down. You just can't react to the ball hitting the hammer. So you have to have a timing issue. So you bounce that golf ball about 8 inches off the rubber mallet each time, or 6 inches. You don't usually bounce it 2 feet. So there's a rhythm. There's a certain cadence that you develop. And you have to think about what your eye muscles are doing. They have to follow the ball. You can't get distracted. You have to stay focused. So if somebody's asking you a question while you're doing it, it's kind of hard for you to assimilate the information at the present and still be able to bounce that golf ball off the hammer. So if I was to say to you, I want you to bounce that golf off the hammer and then recite your lecture that you're going to be doing this evening, then that's going to really challenge your brain. You're hitting the first level of difficulty with the rubber mallet, but there's all kinds of other hammers that you're eventually going to graduate to, be the 28-ounce S-swing hammer, the 4-pound sledgehammer with a curved face on it, so it's slightly convex, and you'd have to actually navigate a different challenge because the rubber mallet's very flat. So consequently, you keep on pushing the envelope until the rubber mallet becomes very boring for you, and you say, I'm ready to graduate to the heavier hammer. So now we go from 16 ounces up to 28 ounces. Do you think you're going to get more of a burn in your forearms? Yes. So what you're doing is you're making your brain more active, and you're bringing more blood volume into your brain.
Just because of the mental gymnastics it has to do.
Yeah. So what's that number, 2 to the 30th power? Did you write it down?
I did not write it down.
Yeah, do you remember that number?
I didn't remember it.
No, it's 1,073,741,824. So what happens now is when I see a number, I have a different approach than when you see the number. So just imagine that the goal now was to do 2 to the 20th power, bouncing a golf ball off the rubber mat without missing. So you'd have to spend time memorizing 2 to the 20th power, and then you'd have to start to incorporate it with being able to bounce it. So no longer are you counting bounces, but you're going 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128. So one of the suggestions that I make to people is take the rubber mat and go A is 1 and B is 2 and get all the way down to Z. And then do Z is 1 and Y is 2 and then go all the way back to A. And this is mental gymnastics that you're doing to your brain. Kind of childlike in many respects, but to complicate it with the hammer drill training simultaneously, that's pretty radical. Now when you go back to something else, which isn't even the same, such as playing ping pong or tennis, all of a sudden you have this increased focus at watching a ball, tracking it, and hitting it. And hitting a moving object that's coming through space with a handle, with a racket or a baseball bat or squash paddle, tennis racket, baseball bat, hockey stick, these are complicated motor skills that most of the population doesn't fare well at.
So let's say I haven't hit a baseball in years, but I'm mastering the hammer drills and I go out to the batting ranges.
I think you're going to have better success. I think that if you started practicing swinging a baseball bat, both left-handed and right-handed, it would even help better. Here's the whole concept. If all things are being equal and you've got two people that are trying to get better at, say, the game of golf, and one guy is swinging the club and doing the hammer drills and the other guy's only swinging the club, but one guy is swinging the club both left-handed and right-handed and doing the hammer drills, who do you think is going to play better golf?
The hammer drill guy.
Yeah, then the hammer drill guy is also doing fine motor control with penmanship, so he's chipping and putting with more confidence than the other guy that's frustrated at his fine motor controls.
All right, Michael, this is great stuff.
This is just the tip of the iceberg for you. I want you to get down to Home Depot and get yourself a rubber mallet. Michael, you should definitely get a ping pong table and do the research on what the video games do to the adolescent brain. Not good.
Okay.
I got another $20 fine there.
Yeah. Michael, you got 40. There's another 20.
Michael, just imagine that every time you speak with me, I'm not a hard ass to you. I'm your brain coach, and I'm taking you up to a level where at first you go, God, you're agitating me now, Michael. I said, no, Michael, I'm not agitating you. I'm teaching you.
It's okay. I don't mind.
So down the road, Michael, what you'll say is, I appreciate this information, and it's changed my life.
When I say okay, I'm thinking in my mind. I'm thinking or I'm picturing a thought in my mind, and then the okay just comes out. It's not like I'm concentrating on the okay.
You don't have the impulse control to override and quarantine them. Now, when you go out into a cafe setting or restaurant and just sit there at a table by yourself and listen to conversation, it's so self-evident.
When I edit an interview, I edit out the okays, the ums, the ahs. I clean it up. And that's one thing about my interviews. When you listen to them, they go into the subconscious so much easier because those ums, ahs, all that stuff is stripped out one by one. And I get it. And I learned that from editing hundreds and hundreds of hours of audio interviews. Every I get it. I understand that. And I do it myself. When I'm doing the interviews, I stumble, I say but the magic is I clean it up in the editing afterwards. But it'd be real magical if I didn't do it in the first place.
This is what I teach, that you actually have a thought in your mind that you have a 3-second delay so that you're thinking so quickly that you can strain it out and it doesn't even get in the game. Just imagine that you quarantine all those words and that there are lazy bums that are sitting on the bench and they're looking at you as a coach. Can I get back in? And you go, no, gentlemen, that's fine. Just sit there on the bench now. Have the masses ever been right in history?
No.
So what we're doing is we're giving you something that the masses don't necessarily gravitate towards. But who would gravitate towards something like this? A person that's having short-term memory loss? A person that feels as though they're getting, quote, older, unquote?
All right, but they're going to say, Michael, yeah, I've got the iPhone and I'm doing the Lumacy. You're not teaching me anything new. I took the Harry Lorraine 20 years ago. I got that memory stuff
really?
Covered. What are you offering that's different?
How about this? Can I see your output of your fine motor controls with a pen? Oh, that's not necessary. And then you go like this. Are you aware that as the aging human goes down the timeline, that the hand tremors and Parkinson's disease become very prevalent? And this is an anti-Parkinson's disease activity? What are you talking about? My father has a Parkinson's disease. Are you trying to tell me that this could actually help prevent it?
How about once you have it? I mean, once you have those tremors. Those
oh, man, that's not a good place to be, Michael. You can't improve it, but it's almost like, you know, once the tooth is halfway decayed, can we patch this up I hope we have to do a root canal on it. Isn't an ounce of prevention worth a pound of cure?
Oh, yeah, it's all prevention.
Yeah, so what happens now is somebody is really frustrated at hitting a golf ball or a tennis ball or getting better at guitar, and then a guy like me comes along and says, guys, watch how much better I'm going to get using my theory. Later the guy goes, dude, I can't believe it, man. What have you been doing? My program.
All right, tell me about that weightlifting guy. Give me that story. He was on one of the videos. He was doing the hammer drills, but you said he was a bodybuilder or he's ripped now.
That's Adam Gokel. You saw that guy there that said, hi, I'm Adam Gokel, and I run Global Debt Management?
Yes.
His arms look pretty developed, don't they?
I don't remember specifically, but he was good with the hammer drills.
He was good with the hammer drills. He's a good-looking guy, and he's 33 years of age, and he is ripped. And the reason he hired me is because he was impressed by my strength in my hands, my forearm density, my back density, and said, Coach, I don't know how you're doing this, but I want to learn. He hired me. I helped him out significantly.
So where did he meet you?
He met me while I was painting a picture one day. And he met me in the act of painting a picture. He saw my book there, and he goes, wow, you get your book out now, huh? I said, I did. So he bought it, and he says, I'm just going to read this. I said, well, would you like the accelerated course? He says, I would. I said, well, what if I guarantee you that you'll automatically improve your commission sales, and I even give you a money-back guarantee on it?
And he did it.
And he did it, and he never looked back. Do you play golf, Michael?
I don't.
What do you play for sports?
I don't do any sports. I run about five days a week.
I would love for you to get a ping pong table and challenge your brain through your hands. I want you to look at that term in my book. It's called homunculus. The homunculus man. Essentially, if we were to draw the human body in relationship to how much brain is reserved for our limbs, our hands would be huge in relationship to everything else. That's called the motor homunculus. The subtitle of my book is The Phenomenal Discovery that Hands Grow the Brain. And there's people that I would advise you contacting that live here in Orange County that are on my program that will absolutely give 100% testimonial in favor of the benefits of the...
I'm excited to start digging in, and I'm going to make a commitment to this.
So you have your homework assignment? Just follow that book. Follow the 90-day journal.
Do I need to read the whole book before I start the exercise?
No, you just start practicing your handwriting and go over those letter formations as you're going back to school to learn something that you didn't learn. I was very fortunate. I learned to do the proper cursive writing. Michael, the oldest people in the United States of America right now, currently living, that have the best brain tissue are the nuns with the best handwriting.
The nuns?
Yes, because the book that was written called Aging with Grace is now putting those nuns' brains up against other brains that are doctors, business professionals, and all walks of life, and the nuns are blowing everybody else out of the water.
Okay, when should we talk next?
You have access to me every day if you want to talk to me every day.
Okay, great.
I want you to understand this theory, because if you do understand it and you really put your head around the contents in my book, Michael, HGH is not the most miracle hormone of the body. Pregnenolone is.
Pregnenolone.
HGH is part of that downstream mechanic. HGH is produced by the pituitary gland. Pregnenolone is produced by the white matter tracts.
The white matter, which is all the brain mass?
The white matter is the coating around axon sheaths, basically around the wires. So that's the myelin, M-Y-E-L-I-N.
So that's the white matter.
That is correct. So the white matter actually physically corrodes as we age. They now have evidence that it actually grows. You know how you make it grow, Michael? Through your hands, through your memory exercises.
So is this white matter what produces this pregnenolone?
That's correct. The pregnenolone is produced by the adrenal cortex, it's produced by the testes, but it's produced by the brain. They only recently discovered that testosterone is actually produced in the brain. So when an athlete is losing muscle mass, are you losing muscle mass, Michael?
Probably.
Do you feel as dense as you did when you were 30?
No, I probably am losing muscle mass.
So if you're losing muscle mass, that means testosterone levels have to be dropping. So if your muscle mass is improving, then your testosterone levels are rising.
But what if you're not doing the exercise, regardless of exercise?
Well, essentially, my own discoveries and my own applications that I personally do that make people go, wait a second, I can't believe how dense you are, Michael. It's ridiculous. I've never seen anybody dense like you before.
You're not weightlifting or anything like that.
I don't have to.
You're just doing your program.
I'm doing my program, I'm doing the exercises, and I'm reciting pi and powers of two. So if you do double numbers, how far can you double right off the top of your head?
I have no idea.
Go ahead, just try it. Two, four.
Oh, what am I doing? 2, 4, explain.
This is powers of 2. Keep on doubling the number. 2.
Oh, 2, 4, 16.
No, 2, 4, 8.
Oh, am I counting by twos?
No, 2 doubles.
Oh, double it. Oh, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64. And I have to start thinking. I get the point.
So 2 to the 10th power is 1,024. I'm currently at 2 to the 80th power. And when people ask me, why are you doing that? I said, well, because it's actually making me a better ball striker in golf. I don't understand why that would work. I said, well, unless you do it, then you won't understand.
Is it easy for you to do it now?
Oh, my God, it's so crazy.
It's crazy easy, so it's not like a terrible, painful workout for you.
Oh, my God, as I'm doing it, I'm bouncing a golf ball off a hammer, and a crowd of people's watching me. They're going, I don't know how he's doing it. Can I get your book?
If you stop doing it, will you lose it?
If you stop exercising, will you lose the gains? Let's put this way here, Michael. 1,073,741,824 is 2 to the 30th power. That's in my permanent memory. Who was the first president of the United States?
George Washington.
Was that in your permanent memory, Michael?
Yes.
Do you have to even answer that question for the next 10 years? Would you have a problem with getting that information?
No, I would not.
No, so if I said, how many states are there in America? There's 50, correct?
Yes, correct.
So what happens now is, imagine that you had certain sets of permanent memory and other things that you didn't really quite think about, so those would be in working memory, and eventually the working memory would fade away. Just imagine that you had a system that could actually make working memory so much more easily accessible, and that you didn't have a hard time learning new information. So if I told you something a couple of times, you had it, and then you remembered it. So when those guys from the London cabbie drivers that drive the black cabs that make up to $400 a night, they're a special breed. When they have 25,000 street names in their brains have actually physically grown. You know, the Greeks 2,500 years ago had 25,000 lines of poetry memorized. How many lines of poetry do you have memorized, Michael?
Not too many.
If I said, what's your favorite song by the Eagles, what is it?
Hotel California.
And give me the first verse.
I don't know it.
It goes like this: on a dark, distant highway, cool wind in my hair, warm smell of calyptus rising up through the air. Up ahead in the distance, I saw a shimmering light. My head grew heavy, my fight psych grim. I had to stop for the night. Michael, just imagine that you could do that to 100 songs, and you could give me the lyrics back that quickly.
That'd be very cool.
And that's what I can do. Michael, next time we speak, I'm going to ask you to do the alphabet backwards.
Let's do it.
Mr. Senoff, it was really an honor talking to you today at length.
We'll talk again. I am going to get on it, and I'll be in touch soon. Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it. So how is whole brain power different? How are you going to answer that?
When you have a rubber mallet in your hand or an S-wing hammer in your hand and you're contracting the forearm muscles, what you're doing is releasing a chemical called IGF-1.
What is that?
It's called insulin growth-like factor. And that chemical actually migrates into the brain and helps produce supergrowth called BDNF.
Is it the physical activeness of holding the mallet?
You got it. The hands grow the brain. And when you're doing the cursive handwriting, you're firing your cerebellum and the Purkinje fibers. And when you're learning whole brain power, you are growing your working memory, and you're having an understanding of the mechanics of the mammalian brain better than any program in the world.
And my sleep is incredible. I used to sleep, and I'm not even exaggerating, I used to sleep in 3 to 4 hour naps. Now, I slept completely through the night, and I remember waking up saying, wow, I got about 8.5 hours of sleep. I did not wake up throughout the night. I did not need anything to wake me up. In fact, I got up that morning, and I poured a cup of coffee, took a couple sips on it, and I reached for my mallet and started pounding it.
When I started Whole Brain Power, my mood elevation dramatically increased easily within the first week. I had difficulty waking up in the morning, feeling that anxiety, feeling kind of depressed. Life is hard, but my life is particularly hard. And Whole Brain Power has turned that around.
To watch someone's HDL increase over 50% by bouncing the ball off of a hammer is absolutely amazing. And so I worked with the hammers really hard for 30 days. On my company blood test, my HDL went to 91. And my doctor looked at me. I told him what I was doing, and he looked at me like, okay, in a little bit of disbelief. And he says, whatever you're doing, keep doing.
Michael pulls out his forearm, and he asks you to touch it. And if there's my forearm and his forearm and a 3-inch in diameter steel pipe,
The two similar things are Michael's forearm and the steel pipe. The touch feels no different than a piece of steel. You never felt that in another human being.
He took my club out of my hand, turned it upside down, hit it left-handed, he flew it over my ball. I said, Michael, what in the heck is going on here? I want some of this. What are you doing?
You go back to Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, Thomas Jefferson, Edison, Franklin, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Tiger Woods, Steve Nash, Brady, Montana, Breeze. Guess what all these people are?
What?
They're all whole brain thinkers. And here's the common thread. Every one of them is ambidextrous.
I went down to San Diego for the 4th of July, and everybody's, you know, running around in their bathing suits. And, like, friends were like, geez, man, like, you know, what have you been doing? Like, you changed your diet? You've been working out? Like, I mean, it was stirring up quite a little buzz there.
Did people think you were on steroids?
Yeah, actually, one friend did.
So what whole brain power does, it activates savant-like skills, but it doesn't make you a savant. It mimics what savants actually do easily. But we get a little glimpse of it.
My hat size got bigger. My feet got bigger. I grew a half an inch in about a year and a half. And I'm pretty sure that just the additional blood flow to the brain from all the whole brain power things played a big part in that.
So I had social anxiety. I was at 25 getting crow's feet around my eyes because when I spoke with Michael, he told me I was playing so much video games for so many years that my brain was actually shrinking and my eyeballs were being sucked into my skull.
You would think it would be tedious and you would be immediately bored of it and want to do something else. It didn't work, but no, it was not. My brain liked it. And while I'm doing it, it was therapeutic to me. It had a calming effect on me. For some reason, this repetition and continuing to do it longer and easier and more was satisfying to me. It's the craziest thing.
I remember when he started actually teaching me just a few things, just maybe a few times after I met him. And then I saw him a few months later, and he taught me one thing. And seriously, that one thing, I gained 30 yards in maybe a week's time. And that's when I was like, whoa. I was amazed. I was.
So you knew that this guy knew some things you didn't know about.
Exactly.
I mean, I go to the gym. I eat right. I do lots of things. But if you had to say what was the new variable, it was definitely adapting the strategies of whole brain power.
My life changed for the better, and I've never had a 100-day period in my life where I've had more days, at the end of the day, I go, this is the best day of my life. And almost for no particular reason, just that I've extracted everything from the day that I wanted, and it's great.
I don't wake up thinking, oh no, I have to do this stuff because Michael Senoff is going to ask me if I did it. I get up and I want to hit the hammers. I get the kids off to school. I want to come home and start doing Da Vinci writing. I mean, I love doing this stuff because I know I've only been doing it really deliberately and dedicated for about a week, 8 days, but I'm just so alert and energetic, getting things done now. I mean, I've been looking forward to 28 days or 30 and 60.
If you'd like some of the benefits these whole brain power practitioners are experiencing, enter your primary email address below. Once you do, you'll be sent a confirmation email. Click on that confirmation email and you'll be sent additional free audio recordings to listen to more information about the amazing benefits you'll experience looking into whole brain power. Enter your email address below.